preached out of there this morning, out of Ephesians chapter 1, preaching on being in Christ. And that thing runs so deep, just to try to understand that about being in Christ. What we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, the riches that we have in Christ, the peace that we have. And I ain't even dealt with a lot of that. And last Sunday, we talked about the life that we have in Christ, the animation that we have in Him. There's no condemnation in the justification that we have. And this morning, we talked about being faithful in Christ and the spiritual blessings that we have and being chosen in Christ and the redemption that we have. And thank God for the redemptive power. We're just going to look at two things tonight. But as my wife says, don't tell us that you just got 2 points when you've got 8 sub-points. To go with that. She'll don't tell us we just got to. I throw Jen under the bus, honey. But that'll be all right. Let's stand to our feet tonight, if we would, as we get ready to read Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read the chapter again tonight. All 23 verses as Paul is opening his epistle and that to the church at Ephesus right here. I would encourage you to read that whole book. It ain't got but 6 chapters in it. I would encourage you to go read it, and it's just loaded. It is just loaded, if you would let me talk about that. Not only what we have in Him, but the unity that we have in Him, the power that we have in Him. And by the way, we do have power in Him, but it's His power that works in us. Amen. Is that not what Ephesians chapter 3 tells us over there? I believe it is. He said, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But it's His power that works in us. Amen. Thank God there's power. Wonder-working power. Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, look in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, that's the only way we'll be holy and without blame before God is in Christ Jesus the Lord tonight. Amen. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now let me stop right here for just a second and say, as I read, have you picked up on this? I didn't mention this morning, but it talks about Him and Himself and in Him and all those things as we read chapter 1. It's all about Christ. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You can be seated tonight, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You We thank you again, Lord, for just this wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for the mercy and grace that you've bestowed upon us. And Lord, it's come preaching time now, and we certainly need you. And we need you to come by. And Lord, there's nothing I can do in myself, but we need power and that from on high to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that our speech pattern would be good and our thought pattern. I pray you'd guard our mind tonight and keep Satan far away from this place. And I pray tonight that if there's one lost, that you'd save them. Lord, I pray you bring them to repentance. But if there's somebody here tonight that just needs some help, needs some encouragement, I pray that it would be found in you. Lord, we love you and we thank you now. I pray that you'd just help while we might preach and that you'd be honored in it all tonight. We certainly need you and we thank you so much. Lord, help us tonight and fill us. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for it all. Help somebody for this in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, as we talked about what we said this morning about being faithful in Christ and the spiritual blessings that we have in Him and being chosen in Him and the redemption that is in Him that we've seen in the first part of the chapter, I want to pick up in verse 13 or in verse 12 where He said that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And I want to start tonight by looking in Christ that we must trust in Him. For salvation tonight, you had to trust in Christ. You had to come to a place where you believed that Christ could save you from your sin. You had to know about the death, the burial, and the resurrection and know that, listen, trusting is simply just placing faith and hope in what you're trusting in. That's what it is tonight. And listen, the night that I come and got saved, I didn't apply all that together in my mind. I just knew that I was lost and that if I come to Him, He'd save me. I knew that if I asked Him, He'd do that. Amen. And so when I come, I mean, I'd been raised and preached to and taught to and that about salvation, about the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection. But wasn't it a good day when it become real in your heart? Wasn't it a good day when God just made Himself real to you and that salvation become real? Listen, hey, some people get saved and I'll be honest with you, my salvation is this a word, realer. I know it's more real. It's got realer the older I get. Amen. I like I say, I understand more now, and you should too, about what you have in Christ than when you first got saved. Listen, you've got a bunch in Christ if you're His today. But listen, notice what Paul said in salvation, trusting in Christ for salvation. He talked about the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the finished work at Calvary and an empty tomb. Ain't that just wonderful tonight that when you believe that and you come to Him and ask Him to save you, you get in Christ. You get forgiven of your sin. You become a child of the King tonight. Listen, what was it that He said over in John 3, I believe it is, at the beginning of the chapter where it talks about becoming the Son of God. I can't get it to come to my mind how it all starts. But listen, in John 1, excuse me, not in John 3, I believe it is. But listen, He said, but as many as received Him, out of them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Listen, you must believe and that to be born again and birthed into the family of God. But when you do, you get in Him. You're part of Him and can't get out of Him. Amen. And that brings us to the second part. Listen, it was the Word that birthed us. It was the Word that begot us. You know, we're born again by incorruptible seed and that of the Word of God. What was it He said in Romans 10? So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, my faith rests in what this book says tonight. Amen. I have nothing else in that to trust in, to believe in. I to know that I'm saved and to know that I'm kept because feelings come and go. But listen, this book remains the same no matter what. And ain't that wonderful tonight? Amen. I'm in Him in salvation. In salvation, I've been saved. I hope you've been saved tonight. Then notice what He said this later on. He said, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believe, that is again, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Then there's an encapsulation. You know what that means? To be encapsulated, that means you're sealed. That's what it means. He said, you were sealed. After that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so listen, we become His and He does the keeping. Now notice what He said right here about that Holy Spirit of promise. He said, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Let me deal with that right now. Listen, do you realize that the Holy Spirit, God gave us Him to live here on this earth till He comes to get us? I mean, that's the earnest. That is the promise. That is the earnest money, if you let me say that. It's kind of like this. You remember when Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac? And you remember what the servant done when he got over there to Rebekah, and after he prayed, said, Lord, show me the one that Isaac needs, and went through all that, and he gave her some jewels, didn't he? Ain't that right? Gave her some jewels. And I mean, when she got over there to her house, she had on some rings and some earrings in. Listen, and she had jewels all over her. And first of all, they could tell there was something different about her than when she left the house that morning. That's a good message in that, amen. She not only was stepping a little different, but she was looking a little different too. But you know what God has done for us? I just as the same as that servant which went to get a wife and that for Isaac. So by the way, there's a lot of typology in there. I mean, a lot of great typology. Abraham being God the Father and Isaac the Son. And listen, the servant went and got him a bride, which is representation, and that of the church. I mean, there's just so much in there. But what did he do? He gave her them jewels to remind her what she was going to get when she got over there with Isaac. Just gave her down. Now imagine all the blessings that God has gave us and done for us and took care of us here. Imagine what heaven's going to be like. Somebody once said, if the floorboard of heaven is the sky, imagine what the other side looks like. Maybe think about that for just a second. You go out there in the middle of the night when there ain't a cloud in the sky and there ain't a moon nowhere and it's just clear and you can see all them stars up there and we see the floorboard of heaven and we think, boy, how pretty it is. Imagine how the other side must look. But listen, we're encapsulated in Him. He's left Him. He's left us the jewel and that of the Holy Spirit to be our earnest to know that He's coming to get us. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But listen, that Holy Spirit, He's not only our earnest, but He is the one that sealed us. Ephesians 4 said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We looked at that day of redemption this morning. Listen, there's coming a day that He's coming to get us. But we're sealed till that day. I don't believe that day's too far off, do you? Listen, I don't believe it's too far off. I'm looking for Him to come. I know the Apostle Paul was looking for Him to come too. And I know that we've been living in the last days for a long time. But it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, don't it? It does. How much worse do you reckon it can get? Think about that for just a second. I mean, it's already vile now. But listen, the Apostle Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I think we can grieve Him sometimes, don't you? I know we can. I know we grieve Him, and I know that we quench Him. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. He does the keeping. He said right here, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know, the Lord sent us the Holy Spirit. What was it that He told His disciples? He said, if I go not away, He said, the Comforter will not come. And He sent Him to us that He might be a comfort to us. He's a comforter when we need Him. He's a convictor when we need Him in our life. But boy, I tell you, I'm glad that we're encapsulated and we're kept. And He is our great, how do you put this? He is our great keeper tonight. We're not keeping ourselves. And boy, I tell you, what a great day when we all figured that out. Now, there's a lot of Baptists will tell you that, but we act like we're trying to keep ourselves. Now, I believe in living holy and righteous. I do, but listen, I want you to hear me now. Living holy and righteous ain't going to make you no more saved than what you already are. And it ain't going to keep you no more saved than what you already are. But I tell you, it'll keep you a good relationship in Christ. I'll tell you that. Amen. He wants us to live holy and live righteous tonight. Well, then notice, I want us to back up in verse 10. What did he say over here? And he kind of started with this and then led into salvation. He said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. And who? Now, I'm preaching on in Christ, by the way. We are saved in Christ. We are kept in Christ by the Holy Spirit. But then he talks about right here the great congregation that's going to be gathered unto him. He said the dispensation of the fullness of times. So God's got a timetable. He's got a calendar out there. We don't know it, but he knows it tonight. And he's coming to get us tonight. Thank God for that. Listen, gather together in one all things in Christ. So listen, we're gathered up in him as a body of Christ. We're placed in him. We're kept in him. We'll be gathered up in him, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Even in him. It's in him tonight. Oh, when he steps out on the clouds. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Y'all ought to know where I'm going tonight. I love these scriptures over here. Talking about the great resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I said, preacher, do you really believe it's going to happen like it says? I believe it's going to happen just like it says. He said, behold, in verse 51, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, we ain't all going to die. We ain't all going to give it up. Not everybody's going to have to get planted in the grave out there. Boy, what a wonderful day that'll be when he steps out. Well, let me read on. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster you can bat your eye, we're here and then we're gone. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. By who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who are we preaching about tonight? In him, ain't we? It's in him tonight. Listen, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can I tell you that there's coming a day that the great congregation is going to be called out? Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians 4 tonight. Verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells us a little more about that. The change in 1 Corinthians 15. The mortal must put on immortality, that's us. The corruption must put on incorruption, that is the one that has died and been buried in the ground. Them old saints is going to get up one day. Now, their soul is with the Lord now. I don't believe in soul sleep. I don't believe the Bible teaches us that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We understand that. But I also know that he's going to bring them back with him. Well, let me read on right here. First Thessalonians 4, look in verse 13. But I don't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, let me park here for just a second. Notice it is a belief fact. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that in your heart and ask him to save you, he will do that. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So they're obviously with the Lord, ain't they? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord, you know that word prevent in your King James Bible means to go before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When you had a church that was setting under tribulation, that was being persecuted for what they believed and for what they taught, it was a comfort to them. It was a comfort to them to hear them words that Christ was coming. Because if you go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, writing to the same church, he says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. They were persecuted. They were under tribulation. And to hear those words that they weren't going to have to stay here, listen, that there is a heaven somewhere, that we will be gathered together in the great congregation. You go to Revelation chapter 5 that we read this morning. I'm telling you what a time it's going to be. You think we have meeting down here sometimes. You think that it gets good down here. Imagine when we get over there how good it's going to be. But then notice after he talks about the great congregation being gathered out, then he talks about what? The possession that we have. In verse 11, in whom, talking about Christ, the gathering away was in Him, the salvation is in Him, being sealed by the Holy Spirit is in Him. But then he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Our inheritance is in Him. My dad tells me from time to time, I don't know why he tells me this, but he tells me from time to time, he says, well, son, I'm just spending the inheritance. My inheritance is in Him. You know, my earthly inheritance is in my Father, if there's anything left. And let me say this, I'm not looking to get His money, my mom and dad's money. I hope they spend every dime in the last... Now, I ain't going to say it. But listen, I hope they spend every dime that they got before they leave out of here. That way they can enjoy what they've worked for all their life. I'm not waiting on their money. I'll be honest with you. I'm not. I want them to enjoy it. I do. But you know what? I know I've got an inheritance over there. I know there's one. Listen, he said we've obtained an inheritance. So there is a great possession. There is a heavenly possession. And our inheritance rests in Him. Now notice what he said. Let me go back to this over here. Go back to what he said in verse 14. Talking about what the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. He gave us the Holy Spirit for the earnest of what we're going to get later. If the Holy Spirit is as good to us as He is now, imagine how good it's going to be when we obtain our inheritance over there. You understand? I mean, the Holy Spirit's awful good to me, I'll be honest with you. I mean, He corrects me when I need it, but boy, they bless me. And when I say they, I'm talking about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they bless me, boy, and I'm telling you, ain't it a wonderful thing? The Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance, just like those jewels that Rebecca got. Listen, we have obtained an inheritance in Him. You know, when I got saved, I didn't think about none of that stuff. I wanted out of hell. I know that I was lost. I just wanted to get saved. I wasn't even thinking about an inheritance that's in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Take your Bible and go over. I want you to read this for yourself because you might need to underline some stuff. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I remember when I grasped some of this one day. I was reading the book of 1 Peter and really just the Lord kind of just enlightened some things, especially in this first part of the chapter. Look in verse... we'll just back up in verse 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Now notice our hope is lively. There is a life to our hope. It's not a dead hope, but a lively hope. Why? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now notice what he said. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have an inheritance that is what? Incorruptible and undefiled, and one that fades not away, reserved in heaven. That's a wonderful thought. That's a wonderful thought. I have a place in heaven. I have a home in heaven. But I've got an inheritance in heaven. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I'm just glad to have a place in heaven. I'm glad to have a seat in heaven. Amen. You ever just went somewhere and was just glad to get a seat? I mean, when you got there, boy, it's crowded. But you're glad to get a seat. You know what heaven's going to be? I think heaven will be crowded out of all the dear saints over the years. Listen, the Bible talks about over in the book of the Revelation, chapter 5, that there was 10,000s. And that's plural, by the way, upon 10,000s. As far as you could see, as John could see, he said, I saw them out through there. Listen, that's the church that his blood bought. Listen, all down through the ages. You know, when we get in here and we get a full house and we begin to sing, and we just have congregational singing when we got a full house, it sounds good, don't it? I mean, when folk just begin to rear back and sing, imagine what it's going to sound like over yonder. Imagine how it's going to sound when we begin to sing. Revelations 5 and 9 talks about singing that new song over there. Listen, but we've got an inheritance. That means it's been left for us. We didn't do anything to get it. It's just been left for us. Ain't that something tonight? An inheritance. I don't understand it all. But in the book of Ephesians over here, it says what? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Listen, he done it. He done it because that's what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it. That we should be what? To the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Listen, if you've trusted in him, you've got an inheritance in him tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Abraham living by faith. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. You know, sojourn just means to be passing through. Sojourned in a land of promises in a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know we're no different here. Do you know that we're just traveling through here, dwelling in tabernacles, ain't we? Ain't this thing just a tabernacle? Ain't we just dwelling in tabernacles, not putting roots down here? And we're looking for what? A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go over to the book of the Revelation. Study on that new city, Jerusalem, that comes down. We find out that our trusting in Christ brings us salvation and brings us an encapsulation and brings us a possession. It brings us a what? A great congregation that will be gathered up in. But then there was a resurrection. And we find his power in the resurrection. If you notice, we go back to verse 18. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And I think we miss some of that stuff sometimes. Talking about to have our eyes enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling in salvation. I mean, he called us to be saved. What is the hope of our calling? It's in him. We have a hope. We have a lively hope according to the book of 1 Peter. And there is a hope of the calling of whatever he has called us to do. He will always be there. We looked at that this morning. Faithful is he that calleth you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about that our eyes will be enlightened and all these things and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches that we have in him. His treasure box is full. and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in who? In Christ, when He raised Him from the dead. So we see that His power is seen, first of all, in the resurrection. You know, what did He say in John 10? Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. He has power. He got up. You know, Jairus' daughter got up because of the power of Christ. Lazarus got up because of the power of Christ. The woman of Nain's son got up because of the power of Christ. But Jesus got up of His own power. Now listen, He defeated death and hell, did He not? I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. Revelations 1 and 18. His great power was exemplified at the empty tomb when He got up. We see that. Said that He wrought that in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That same power. Now listen to me. That same power that raised up Christ of His own power, listen, will raise us up one day because of Him. And there'll be the great congregation. But notice He said, in what is exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. I really believe that we have power with God. I do. I believe we miss it sometimes. I believe that we're not in the place to use it sometimes. We can't have sin in our life and expect to have the power of God. Eat up with the world and expect to have the power of God. But I do believe that when we pray and fast and live for God, I believe we can have the power of God to rest on our life. Things ain't always going to be good for us to have the power of God in our life. What are you talking about? Paul said over there, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." What was it? The messenger of Satan to buffet on him. And then he besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. And the Lord told him over there, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For when you're weak, then are you strong." It's in our weakness that we find the power of God resting on our life. That's something that I don't like. That's something I don't really... It's kind of like, was it the preacher that I heard this morning? I believe it was. He's talking about them disciples over there. When that father brought that son to the Lord's disciples, and Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the rest of them, the other nine, were down there at the foot of the mountain, and they could not cast that devil out of that boy. And so the father finally brings the son to the Lord, and he cast him out. And they come to him later and says, "Lord, why could we not do it?" And he says, "This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting." Sometimes we want to snap our finger and have the power of God, but it really just don't work that way. We do have Him, and we do have the power of God to rest in our life when we want it, but we're going to have to go after it in the fact of that we want to live for Him and that we want to serve Him. The place of humility that Jacob taught about in Sunday school this morning. You know, to have the power of God rest in our life takes humility. But notice what he said right here, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. And the book of Philippians tells us over there, I believe it was, that he gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Christ every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess. Now that's great power when everybody's going to do that. God has exalted him in his great power. Then we have power to serve and power to work. We can We can fight and we can get it done. If you go over and look in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us over there to be strong in the power of His might. We fight in His power, not in our power. We serve in His power, not in our power. But we see His power. God has exalted Him now, but God is going to exalt Him one day. He is not king now, but He will be king one day. What did we see? I'm going to close. What did we see here a while back? Samuel went down and anointed David king while Saul was still king. Right? Now David is anointed to be king, but Saul is still king. And in a time period when he is on the run from Saul, he is in the cave of Adullam. He is in the cave over there when all those men that were distressed and indebted and discontent with their life, they come to him. And he was estranged from Israel. And at this time, Christ is estranged from Israel. But David was just as good as king as he would be later on down the road when Saul got killed. David became king. You know, there's coming a day when Christ Jesus the Lord is going to become king. And we're going to go from a democracy or a republic to a monarchy. And that's what we'll have. He's king now, but He will be king one day after a while in His great power. Well, I'm glad when He's going to set everything under His feet and make everything right. Let's bow our heads tonight, if we would. In Him. We got everything in Him tonight. It's because of Him and in Him.